listening today, and join with me next Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. for another message from the pulpit of Mission Charlottesville. God bless you today and always.
Your CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast. Partly sunny for your day today with highs in the middle to upper 60s, but enjoy the warmth because it won't last much longer. Tonight, partly cloudy and cooler with lows in the lower 30s. And Monday, variably cloudy and much cooler with showers and possibly some frozen precipitation arriving after sunset. Highs near 50 degrees. I'm CBS 19 meteorologist Tana Scholl on Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Hey, welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. I'm excited to be with you this morning to share some of God's Word. This program is intended to be sort of your spiritual cup of coffee. On this show, we share faith journeys and testimonies, and we're thankful that you're tuning in today. We like to start the program with a little bit of scripture, and today we're focusing on two verses. One's in the New Testament. It's 2 Timothy 3:16. And then we're going to flip to the Old Testament. It's the book of Joshua, verse 1:8. Both of these verses talk about God's word, so which is going to be a lot of what we talk about on the show today. So here we go. The first verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's in the New Testament, goes like this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that's the first verse. The second one we're going over, we're into Joshua, which is in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 8, goes like this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua 1:8, 2 Timothy 3:16. There's your homework assignment. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back. We have Chaplain Joe with us on the program. Be right back.
Coronavirus crisis.
Thousands of Americans make the trip to Sunbelt communities every year for spring break. In spite of the pandemic, that's set to be the case again. Steve Hayes with Visit St. Pete Clearwater in Florida says all are welcome as long as they follow the guidelines.
We want to have this going forward, and so we ask you to follow some of the policies that we have here.
Social distancing is the name of the game, according to Hayes, but not everyone is so welcoming. Los Angeles County health officials are asking long-distance visitors to postpone travel in an effort to keep down the spread of COVID-19. Dr. Jay Wolfson with the University of South Florida says even though the U.S. has made progress on vaccinations and case numbers continue to decline, there's still a risk to traveling.
There are folks around them who they don't know, and the bubble, the protection of immunity, may not be present where they're at.
Local leaders anticipate they will see their biggest crowds since before the pandemic. In Clearwater, Florida, Robert Sherman, Fox News.
Coronavirus crisis.
And then you're out of desperation, though you're not the only one.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program, he's a regular superstar, Chaplain Joseph Baraxa. He's the chaplain of the Charlottesville Albemarle Regional Jail. Chaplain Joe, you're just such a great guy. Keep coming on. You're a giver, man. You know, you just keep giving to people. You're always available for this show. You give so much to the community. What's that, just in your DNA?
Oh, I don't know, man. It's just I'm having fun in life right now. I keep telling people, get ready to turn 58, and I feel like I'm just getting started.
You look really young. You got this short haircut going, man. You look like you're 38.
Well, I dropped 15 pounds. I've been running about 25, 30 miles a week. So I just feel great. But anytime I get a chance to be around you or with you talking, it's always a privilege and an honor for me. So
Since you brought it up, let's talk about your wellness. So if that's something that my wife would call it a midlife crisis, is that midlife crisis? Or did you get a God poke where the good?
I'm a gym rat. I'm a Navy guy. So I've always been in shape and I just continued. I started distance running when I was 50. So I've done half marathons and 10Ks, and I'm going to do a couple more this year if they open up. I just enjoy doing it. It's a great stress release. It makes me feel great. I had acid reflux at one time years ago, but once I dropped the weight, that all went away. And I just feel healthy, man. You got to feel good about yourself, and you got to find a way to get that anxiety out of your body. And running or working out is just very good for mind, soul, body.
Talk to me about the difference it makes, Joseph Araxo, when he's working out and in good shape. Talk to me about the difference it makes at work and at home.
Sleep. I sleep better when I work out. I'll right out of the gate. When I'm not working out and the stress of the job gets to me, I'm eating poorly. I'm eating late at night, not sleeping because my brain won't shut off. And then that's when everything just starts going awry. You just don't think straight. Emotions tend to get you sometimes. And you're not at your peak efficiency when you're lack rest and good nutrition. So that's key for me to be able to deal with what I deal with on a day-to-day basis and the stresses and demands that come with that. Because if your body is not in shape, it'll talk to you. It'll shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the stress that you're bringing upon yourself, you've got to find a way to keep your body exercised, even your heart, because your heart's a muscle and people don't realize that sometimes. You got to get the heart rate up. You got to exercise like all your other muscles as well. I just got my blood pressure taken. It's like 110 over 72, I think. So
that's great news.
Yeah, but it's all due to just sleep, eating right, and exercise. It all helps with the job tremendously.
And isn't it interesting how, particularly for us guys, how those three line up? It's like when you have those three going right, the rest of your life tends to be going right as well. When one of those kicks off, be it diet, or you missed the workout, it tends to drag the other two with them.
It does. It knocks you out of kilter. It does. It's exactly what it does. And it's important. I just took vacation last week. And I just realized the first time, probably in a year and a half or longer. And I told myself 2021, I'm going to shut down. That's exactly what I did. That's why I feel so good. I shut everything down, phone, computer. And for a week, man, I had a blast. So,
good for great. You. Yeah. Well, you're looking good. Let's talk about the importance as we mix in there with the diet, the workout, the sleep. Talk to me about your faith life on a daily basis. How does that work into your day? Where does that come?
Well, you got to pray. I mean, that's got to come immediately because this is not my show. This is not the God show, Joe going into jail, doing his thing. It's God's show, not Joe's show. And what, you know, I've got to be in tune with what he has prepared for me each day the second I walk in that door. And it has to start here at the house. It has to start in my heart, my mind, communicating with him. And it's not just I get up in the morning, I pray, and I go on about my day. I have to be in constant communication with him throughout the day.
Wow.
So I know what he's putting in front of me, who he's putting in front of me, the situation he's putting in front of me. And to be able to detect the enemy as well, because as I'm searching for God to direct me, the enemy's doing things to try and redirect as well, and distractions and stress. Another tool the enemy uses, stress.
Yes.
Get you off of what you're supposed to be focused on because of that as well. So that's my faith journey every day. It's a continuum. It's not just I pray when I get up and I pray when I go to bed, and prayer in between. It's all of that. Conversations, and at any given moment I could pull over in a car and just start praying for someone, or praying with someone over the phone or praying for someone at the facility that I'm getting ready to visit. I'll call someone and say, hey, let's pray with me. I'm getting ready to visit an inmate. Just got charged for murder. So how am I going to deal with him? How's God going to put me in front of this guy? What's that going to look like? I got to pray for stuff like that before I jump into a conversation.
You know, I like so much of what you're saying. It is relatable. First of all, you talked about when you're going into your ministry that it's not the Chaplain Joe show, it's the God show, is that you are offering up yourself as a vehicle for God to do his work, and you're going in to be a witness for him. And that is just so countercultural because, right? I mean, it's March Madness and the NBA and all the different sports that are on, and society today, everybody wants to point to the name on the back of their jersey. You know, it's all about me. And yet you're coming at your day-to-day business, your ministry at the Charlottesville Alamo Joe, which I can't think of a more difficult ministry and challenging ministry. And you come about it from the standpoint that it's not about me, Chaplain Joe. This is the God show that I'm offering myself up. Is that intentional? Well, I guess it is, because it sounds like you're plugged in to the Lord all day.
Well, I think it's compelling to me. I'm compelled to do it for a lot of reasons, because when all the errors I made in life and God still pulled me through, and that I just don't have control, man, of anything. And I realized that I am not the center of this universe. Let me tell you that. Oh, and he showed me that in a lot of ways. So when I get the focus off myself, it's so much easier to focus on others, because he's laying people in front of all of us as Christians every day. He's putting things in front of us. And sometimes we're just not in tune to seeing it because we're so zeroed in and focused on other things. And I learned hard a couple times, and a couple lessons, other lessons, that it's not about me. It really isn't. That it's he's got this, he's got it in control, and I want to be on his the kingdom train, I call it. Time to get on board, and what's that look like? And that's just keeping your eyes open to what he has in store for us each day.
Amen. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, with us on the program is a regular Chaplain Joseph Varaxa. He's a chaplain at the Charlottesville Albemarle Regional Jail. Joseph, you pray all day. It reminds me of that book, Practicing the Presence of God, Brother Lawrence. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah, I got that book at the jail, actually.
Yeah, I mean, and so my question for you, if you could relate to the listener who doesn't really pray much, and praying is kind of a foreign thing, but it sounds like something that they're interested in, but they just don't know how to get started. You've been doing it so long. Could you just share like how maybe somebody would start, just step one on how to get started in prayer?
Yeah, you know, and this is a conversation I have with a lot of inmates who are non-believers, or, you know, the problem with sometimes with people is they pray with an expectation, an answer, their answer. And that hence is a problem, because you may not get the answer you want, and all of a sudden, well, God's not listening because he didn't answer this. Well, that's bogus. That's not true. So if you're going in with a mindset of I want God to do this for me, you know, get me out of trouble or get me out of this or whatever I'm requesting, I'm going to pray to him. Let's see if he does it. Well, you know what? You may be shocked. You may not answer in the way that you want. So what I tell folks is, if you're sincere about this, just get on your face and be honest with them. Say, God, I have no idea what to pray. You're real. Please reveal yourself to me and start there. Let's start with that. And let's see where you go there, and let him reveal himself to you in a way that you understand, that where he can reach you where you're at, and not put this expectation on that, well, he needs to answer it this way or else. And he may, just to meet you there because of our, but he may not. You know, it's like we want our children to act and behave a certain way. We put demands on them as well. Well, they, you know, they're gonna do this. Well, they end up doing their own thing anyway. You need to make sure that if you're gonna pray to God, it's with an open heart, mind, and you are completely empty of anything else and just get on your face and say, please help me or reveal yourself to me.
I've also found for anybody just getting started with prayer is if you start with gratitude, things that you're thankful for, and it may be as simple as, you know, waking up today, and it branches out from there. It could be, you know, little things that you invite the Lord in, and you just you praise him, you thank him, and what happens is over time, you know, it just becomes who you are to give thanks for the food that you've received, give thanks for the new friend that you met today, give thanks for the fact that you got home quicker because there was less traffic, or give thanks that in this environment that we don't have COVID and that we are healthy. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can give thanks for that we take for granted. And when you turn that around and you just start offering up praise and a sacrifice of thanksgiving, I believe that God steps into that and hears that. And then you started this dialogue. But like so many other things, you know, it just takes a little momentum, a little priming of the pump.
Yeah, I think part of that is really true. I mean, when I wake up in the mornings, there's a lot of times when I wake up that, to be honest with you, I just put my hand up. Thank you. I woke up, my eyes, I'm awake. And that's the first time part of the day you say thank you, or there's a praise for that. And that's a great place to start. You woke up, taking a breath. Yeah. You know, there are people so far, work situations that even the guys that, you know, there are guys waking up in a cell. Mm-hmm. You're waking up with a bed, with a comforter, king size bed, right? With a king size bathroom or whatever. And there are guys waking up in a cell with three other guys in one toilet or woman, whatever. You know, the women are waking up the same way because there are females in that jail. So I have a lot to be thankful right out of the gate.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of our interview with Joseph Araxa. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay with us.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A woman who used social media to find a family whose picture she found in a book makes today's Dean's List. Several years ago, Victoria Johnson came across a decades-old family photo in a book she bought at a used bookstore in New York City. Victoria says her curiosity made her hold on to the photo for over a decade, but she recently felt compelled to return it. She says it was about helping humans contact with other humans. So she posted the photo on Twitter, hoping someone would recognize the family. Within 48 hours, the niece of the man in the photo reached out. "I think that's my Uncle Sheldon and family," Carol Howlett from Hudson, Ohio wrote. Through that connection, Victoria reached the youngest daughter in the photo. Now 65 years old, Valerie says she had never seen the photo before, but remembers it because it was the first picture with her mother's new husband. She's grateful to Victoria for using social media for what it was meant to do, connect each other. Janice Dean, Fox News.
News and sports sponsored by Positive Coaching Alliance. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit organization, develops better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Pray and Lord above.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. We have one of my main men on the program, Chaplain Joseph Araxa. He's the chaplain of the Charlottesville Albemarle Regional Jail. Joseph, I'm wondering about this. I don't know why this came across my mind here recently, but I was thinking about you and the importance of really what the Apostle Paul talks about, the renewed mind, and how important it is for your mind to stay sharp in your ministry, because you've already, for those that are just tuning in, Joseph has revealed to us that he goes to his ministry as a vehicle for God, that it's not the Joseph Araxa ministry, that he's going in there as an ambassador for Christ. And so what I'm wondering, Joseph, is how important is it? Because this is the picture that I had the other day, and you can kind of correct me or do whatever with this. But when somebody becomes recently incarcerated, it seems like that may be this moment of serious reflection. Like, how did I get here? What am I doing? Is this the end? Is this the bottom? And so as a result of that, when you become tuned in to the attitude of one of the inmates, then what I'm wondering is, you've got to keep yourself sharp so that you see if it's a moment of self-reflection, then it may be a moment to introduce, well, where are you in your faith life? And then start introducing the question of, do you believe God can do something good with this?
Yeah, I mean, there's all of that. And that's what I talk about being in tune, because you've got to see, the Spirit's got to move me in a way to try and recognize what this individual is saying, where they're coming from. I grew up in church. I know this is wrong. God help me. I'm sorry. Can God forgive me? Or they're just still trying to process this, and maybe I'm not guilty. I really haven't done anything wrong. It's not my fault. The other extreme, like life's over. So there's all of that and in between. And where do I meet them? If there are tears, if there's remorsefulness, if there's like, I have no idea what I'm going to do next, or life's not worth living at this point. Then at that point, you're interviewing very quickly. God, you're not alone. God is present. I'm here. We're here. Let's go to him in prayer. Let's do this. Grew up in a church. Let's go to prayer. Let's go to him in this. His love is deeper than this. So there are different ways versus someone coming in, well, it wasn't my fault. And I hear all that stuff about who they're blaming. I'll just say, well, okay. Let's talk about this a little bit then. You know, I'm not going to bring a gospel message immediately right at that person. I have to see where their heart is, because if your heart is not contrite or broken, how much are you really going to receive?
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds callous, but I've got to be able to direct that person in that direction towards the cross. And the methodology may be different each time. It may be just through a book or through, say, hey, why don't you read this, or why don't you take this and here's a journal. Why don't you write some things down? What's going through your head? And let's talk about this. I'll come back later there tomorrow. We'll discuss what you wrote down. And maybe start it there and say, okay, well, you know, because especially someone says I'm an atheist. Well, how do we deal with that? You know, there's so many different things going on at that given time. But despair is rampant. Hopelessness is rampant. And then there's the other extreme, like, it's not my fault.
Have you ever heard the expression, don't waste your suffering? And if so, I'm just wondering if that might be a message that to somebody who's recently incarcerated, is that you might be able to say, I'm sure you're probably already doing that, is that this is one of those moments, this is a crossroad.
It is, and especially if someone says, I grew up in church, and I'll say, well, how do you see God in this? How do you see all this? And it's a question I ask a lot. How do you see God in all of this? And it'll be everything to, he's been warning me for a long time, and I've ignored the warning. So he got me here because I put myself here, but he's giving me the warnings. The others would say, I never saw him, never saw it coming. We can start there. So how do you see him in this? And we can start there. It's a great starting point. And then what do we do with it? Can he use you while you're in here? Can he use this time for you get closer to him? Can he draw you to himself? Can you, every morning you wake up, you're going to have an opportunity to reflect on it. How do you see him? Is he a God that you've had on the shelf and brought him down now because of the situation? You know, he'll still meet you there. That's the beauty of God. He'll meet you right where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of this. Even though you think he's not going to listen to you, it's not true. He's a whisper away at all times. 24/7, whisper away. He's not distant, not up on the shelf. It's not like he's turning a deaf ear to you. Let's go to him. Let's talk to him. Night in your cell, open up your heart and your eyes. Pray to him. ask him to reveal himself at a deeper level. So those are all opportunities and help them reflect on why they, how they got here. Because the journey here, here is just the tip of the iceberg, right? You come to jail, it's the tip of the iceberg. What led up to this is more, is just as critical. And then what do you do from this point forward? Now, what do we do? How do we do, like, you know, you can't fix the train wreck that, that got you here. Don't try and fix it. God can't, let him handle that. Let's start at this point and move forward. They're not going to fix the train wreck. A lot of folks that come in think they're going to fix the train wreck. They just get out. If they just go back, you're not. You're not going to fix that. This is the result of years of whatever that led to this point. Now what do we do with it? Why does God have you here? What are we looking at? How do we, you know, change? How does he get to your heart? How does that heart of stone turn to flesh all of a sudden?
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. We have Chaplain Joseph Baroxo with us on the program. Chap Joe, we're on the home stretch of today's program. Could you share for any of our listeners, it's been a while since you've shared any victories, any kind of the good news in the good news ministry, anything that comes to mind? Even if it doesn't have to be recent, but I really like our listeners to be able to kind of tune in to the amazing things that God's doing through your ministry.
There's a ton. I mean, there's people I see on the outside that have been in to thank me tremendously because of a book or a Bible I gave them on the way out. Now teaching at Night of the Bridge Ministry, and a couple of those guys there I met on the inside and helped refer them to the ministry. Now I see them, I get to mentor them even more. Mm-hmm. One of the guys spoke up a few weeks ago and just told the whole class what had happened while he was in and what the Bible studies and chaplain studies that he was in, how that changed him, get him down here and how that's moving him. I had a girl, she just came in for a probation violation, but I'd given her a Jesus calling devotional the first time around about a year or so ago, and in tears, told me how much that meant, how she has it every day she reads that. From that time, she still has it. Every day, she reads that devotional that was given to her. I had two older gentlemen last week who are getting out. They're older. They're probably 68, 65, 68. Both men came up to me yesterday. They're getting out. And really, just almost teary-eyed, were so grateful and thanked me tremendously for the impact, the literature, the Bible studies, everything that was given to them, what the difference it made for them on the inside. And the thrill it is for them to be able to get out. And one guy was reading a children's book. He couldn't read beyond a children's level, a Bible, and little short stories I would give him. Incredible stuff. I mean, God is on the move in there every day. And I just see him touching people's lives through the various ways and things that we use.
And you have had, in years past, you've had baptisms.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah. We can't do it yet till COVID's over. We had probably in the 2 years that I was there, 40-ish, maybe 43 is the number I have in my mind, men and women. That's been absolutely off the charts. That's a sight that you just can't imagine, man. You're in the middle of a jail and a gymnasium with correctional officers and pastors and a portable pool and people get baptized and singing and praising God, and things just transform in the middle of a jail. It's good. It is so, knowing that you're going to see those folks at the table, you know what I'm saying? We're going to see them at the table someday. And that's the beauty of that as well.
So when we open back up with COVID, do you expect you'll be able to get back and maybe?
I don't know what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. I just, everything is still so up in the air with some things. And I'm going basically about a facilities policy and what they're getting from the governor and Department of Correction. So I have no idea. Who knows?
Well, Chaplain Joe,
God knows. So, you know,
thank you so much for joining us on the program. Again, keep up with the workouts. You look great. Yeah. All the best. I want to pray for you. Your ministry, everyone that you touch. I want to pray for my mother and her colleagues at Westminster Canterbury and for all our listeners. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Chaplain Joe, going to have you on again soon. Just love talking to you. Love what you're doing, brother.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks. See you.
Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
The Joe Thomas in the Morning Show from the Automated Office System Studios on Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV, AM and FM, Charlottesville.
Angry protest 1 year after a deadly police shooting. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Rocks were thrown and windows were smashed as protesters took to the streets in multiple cities to remember Breonna Taylor, who was shot and killed in Louisville last year.
In Seattle, police used pepper spray against crowds and arrested 13 people on charges including obstruction and assaulting an officer. Protesters destroyed and defaced property such as the windows at Starbucks. And in Los Angeles, demonstrators were seen smashing the hood of a police cruiser.
Fox's Marianne Rafferty. In Louisville, Taylor's family led a peaceful march and rally, but at night, police declared an unlawful assembly after protesters blocked traffic. None of the officers directly involved in Taylor's death has been charged. There's pressure on police in London following a vigil in honor of a woman allegedly murdered by an officer this month. Hundreds of women defied coronavirus restrictions to attend the event. Several of them were carted off in handcuffs. One woman was seen pinned to the ground by a pair of officers. Severe overcrowding at border detention centers at the Texas-Mexico border has the Biden administration deploying FEMA. Agents are being asked to manage and care for unaccompanied minors.
DHS Secretary